Well, hello, friends. Mark DiMatteo here with a new audio message going out to our Great Questions group. And of course, I trust this finds each of you doing well, and also that everyone here in the U.S. had a nice Thanksgiving holiday weekend this past weekend. And I guess, however, though, anybody, no matter where we live or where we came from, it's always good to take an opportunity to count our blessings and be grateful for what we have. So I guess we could kind of call Thanksgiving a universal holiday. Because again, I know no matter what's going on, we all have things to be grateful for, which is good. So anyway, I got a new message, of course, coming to you here. And this is called The Atomic Paradox Part 2. It's actually number 19 in our series here. And just as we're getting started here, before we actually get started, let me just say welcome to you all. If you are brand new to our broadcasts, it's exciting. We're continuing to grow. So I find more people that are interested in the same things that we are. I actually have almost 570 folks now that are on my personal email list for this group. We got people signing up on the blog now, and I know many of you are sharing the messages with other folks that you feel would be encouraged by them, and that's fantastic. And of course, all my previous messages are on my my blog, my personal website, as well as a little more information on what's motivating what I'm doing here. And that's at markdematteo.com. Real simple, markdematteo.com, first and last name. So, having said all that, let's get rolling, folks, because I'm fired up about what I want to share with you all, and I want to continue our discussion on these astounding little entities, which we call atoms. And in this message, gang, we're going to focus our attention on power, okay? Most of us know, at least to a certain extent, that while they are almost inconceivably small, atoms, paradoxically, yet somehow contain an enormous amount of energy. Even when I was younger, I would hear scientists talk about one day perhaps having the ability to fully harness the power of the atom. And I thought it amazing that so much apparent energy would be contained in such a tiny thing. We all realize, I suppose, that if we bang certain atoms together or split them apart, a tremendous amount of power can be released. In fact, if we set things up properly, they can actually go boom in a big way. And, you know, they have a small amount of nuclear fuel can power huge power plants and huge ocean-going ships, naval vessels, et cetera, indefinitely with, again, a very, very small amount of nuclear fuel, which is pretty interesting. We're going to talk more about that, and I always thought that was fascinating. Yet even knowing all this, I still really had no concept of just how much force was operating in their construct, and in particular, the atom's nucleus. And just as a reminder, we discussed the basic atomic structure in our previous message. Folks, what I have learned and what I'm going to share with you is astounding. In fact, it's almost unbelievable. For starters, it has now been reasonably estimated that each individual proton or neutron is actually being bound to each other in the nucleus, the atomic nucleus, with a force of approximately 40 pounds. Now, that may not sound like much, but we have to remember that that's 40 pounds holding each individual almost infinitesimally small, you know, tiny, very, very tiny nuclear particle in place, 40 pounds. Saying it another way, and check this out, the binding energy holding the atomic nucleus together would be equal to the force of 1 billion tons per cubic inch. Folks, that's mind-boggling, okay? But let's go even further. Y'all remember Albert Einstein? Pretty famous guy, scientist. His famous E equals mc squared equation quantifies the relationship between matter and energy, and that in reality, matter is essentially a physical manifestation of power, and power on an extraordinary level. If we look at his equation for a moment, and stay with me here, because once again, it's not that complicated. And actually, if you're in a position to do so, you might even want to consider jotting it down, help you visualize it, okay? E equals mc squared, or you could write it E equals mcc. The formula states that we can take any amount of matter, which is the m, and multiply it by the speed of light, c, which is a very big number to begin with, and which I mentioned in the last message. It's actually 186,282 plus a little bit miles per second, big number. And then we multiply it times itself, which is the speed of light squared, or c times c, which obviously in turn yields a very, very big number. And this tells us how much energy, which is the E in the equation, is contained in that amount of matter if we had the ability to totally release it, which at present, folks, we cannot do. Okay, all that's pretty cool, but what does it actually mean? Well, to show just how significant this is, Einstein himself, using his own formula, estimated that if we took just a single ounce of water and could release all the atomic energy operating within it, that we would have enough power to lift 200 million tons a mile into the sky. Did you catch that, good people? The power to lift 200 million tons a mile above the Earth in one individual ounce of water. Folks, that's incredible. And as I said earlier, almost unbelievable. In fact, I remember the first few times I actually shared that number from memory after I'd learned it, during some informal talks I gave, and it seemed so excessively large, even to me, that I figured I'd misquoted it. However, each time I double-checked it, just to be sure, there was the same number looking back at me as there was before, okay? So it was true. Now, while that's obviously a gargantuan amount to be sure, still, I've never been able to visualize just how much 200 million tons is. So, I did a little research in preparation for this message to help us all out, myself included. I wanted to find something really big to draw a comparison. So I decided to use, interestingly enough, a modern nuclear-powered aircraft carrier. So after some checking, I found out that on average, the largest carriers weigh in at around 100,000 tons. So, with that in mind, let's do some math. 200 million divided by 100,000 equals, are you ready for this? According to Professor Einstein, then, the amount of functioning power actually contained in the atoms comprising only one single ounce of plain old ordinary H2O that you and I use every day could lift an armada of 2,000 of the largest modern aircraft carriers, and not just lift them, but raise them almost 5,300 feet into the air. Friends, this is one aspect of the atomic paradox. The amazing reality that this smallest of material building blocks, which we can describe with some accuracy, the atom, should also contain the most ordered power by far of anything presently known to science, definitively. This is indeed astounding, and the magnitude of its implications quickly became apparent and staggering to me as I began to really think it through. If there is that much energy operating in only one small amount of water, how much truly must be operating in the entire cosmos? Folks, think of that ounce in comparison to all the matter that is probably surrounding you right now. Look around. Isn't that amazing to think about? What about your own physical body compared to an ounce? If you're like me, you probably never realized just how much power you really had operating in you. But now that you have this awareness, you might be asking, as I did, well, if that's how much energy is really in me, why can't I get access to more of it? And actually, that's a good question, and we're going to talk more about that later. But for now, let's continue our train of thought, because this is fascinating stuff. How about all the oceans of the world? How many ounces are we talking about here? Now move beyond just water and begin to consider the total amount of matter that makes up our entire planet. My goodness. But let's go further still. Let us remember that it would take 330,000 Earths just to equal the mass of our own sun. However, as big as these numbers are getting, our very own galaxy, the Milky Way, has a mass that is estimated to be between 200 and 600 billion times that of the sun. And finally, to really blow our minds, let us consider that our own Milky Way is only one of perhaps as many as a trillion galaxies that are now being estimated to exist in the cosmos. My goodness, folks, can we even begin to grasp the magnitude of the reality that confronts us here? Potentially a trillion galaxies, each composed of an average of several hundred billion stars, and all this vast amount of matter, and that's not even mentioning nebulas and dust and potential planets being out there, everything, all of that, that physical matter that is all structured out to the most distant universe is composed of atoms, the whole of which, gang, must contain a magnitude of power that truly defies our ability to even begin to comprehend it. So what are we really dealing with here? How can we possibly account for the existence and operation of all this incredible power? And yet, as remarkable as all these discoveries were to me up to this point, it got even better. For in the next message, I'm going to point out another fascinating and astounding aspect to this atomic paradox. And I'm going to introduce you to another major scientific law. And finally, hopefully in that message, but maybe in the one following it, or we'll see how it all goes, but draw some conclusions from all these observations. So folks, we've got to stay tuned. We've got some exciting stuff that we're covering here, and I think it's going to really, like it has me, it's going to open our minds to some new realities here. So anyway, in the meantime, be well, and we'll be looking forward to chatting with you again soon. Okay, take care, folks. Bye-bye now.